This episode of Rise Up is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. If you would like to try a new look, or maybe you've been looking for some new skincare, I'm your girl, guys. Search the hashtag MinuteWithMary.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Rise Up. It's a podcast dedicated to the smash Broadway hit Hamilton. So sit back, relax, and let's raise a glass to freedom.
We're gonna rise up, ain't time to take a shot. We're gonna rise up, ain't time to take a shot. We're gonna rise up.
Hello, everybody. How's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I have been dying for this episode. I think this episode is the reason why I wanted to do this podcast.
Really?
Like, this is the one. When I think about it, this is the one that gets me jazzed. This is the episode that makes me feel alive.
Good. Well, why?
For those of you who listen to us quite often, you know that I am a big fan of villains. I'm a big fan of antagonists.
You should, like, be watching The Descendants then with our children all the time, not me.
Yeah, no. I don't like children of villains. I just like villains. Villains, I think, make great stories. Villains and antagonists make great stories. Without them, there'd be no juice. There'd be no oomph.
It'd be boring.
And it's great to watch happy things and be happy and just appreciate the world and love it and say, yay, all is great. But every once in a while, I'm sorry, Mary, you need a good Slytherin.
You're a wizard, Harry.
You need a Slytherin to make things interesting. And in my opinion, Burr is a fantastic Slytherin. This is it, man. I just find that Burr is the best part of the whole musical. In the end. How about you? Where do you stand on Aaron Burr as a character within the musical itself?
Love to hate him, man. Yeah. Love to hate him.
Yes. Well, we will be talking about Aaron Burr quite a bit in this episode, as it's all about him and really his relationship to Alexander Hamilton. But before we get into the rest of this episode, I want to let you know that you can find us at maryandblake.com, mm-hmm. where we have all of our other podcasts, including This Is Us 2, which is coming back up very soon. And we also have Game of Thrones, Gilmore Girls, Minute with Mary has a podcast. We have so many podcasts. I ran out of fingers to count them on. So you can find them all on maryandblake.com, as well as all of our blogs, Minute with Mary, the Mary and Blake blog, the Handmaid's Diaries. It's all there. And you can find us on social media at Mary and Blake, with Instagram, with Facebook, with Twitter, YouTube. It's all there. Just search Mary and Blake. Marvin, are you ready to get into this, into the episode that makes my heart beat?
Sure I am.
All right, let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you could have been anywhere in the world tonight, but you're here with us in New York City. Are you ready for a cabinet meeting, huh? The issue on the table.
So, of course, today we're talking about why Hamilton the musical should actually be called Burr.
Well, at least that's what I think.
In Blake's opinion. We joke about it, how it could have been called Burr, how so much of the musical depends upon Burr the narrator, Burr the antagonist, heck, Burr killing Alexander Hamilton. So let's dive in.
Yeah, so I always think about this. I think about shows and movies often and why why certain shows and movies are amazing, right? The Dark Knight is, like, it's world-stoppingly good. And it's not because of Christian Bale and all that other stuff and all the great cool things. It's because of Heath Ledger and the Joker. Silence of the Lambs won Best Picture in 1992. I think it was 92. And it beat Dances with Wolves. Oh, did it beat Dances with Wolves? I forget.
Tatanka.
Oh, no, it beat JFK. It beat JFK for Best Picture. Why? Not because of Jodie Foster. but because of Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter. These are just two small examples. All of these shows and films have great antagonists. And again, the antagonist is the fruit of the story. And I think about Hamilton in those terms. What makes Hamilton so good? Is it because of Lin-Manuel Miranda and his writing? Yes. Is it because of the choreography and the staging and the costumes? Yes. Is it because Hamilton is a cool story itself? Yes. But what is the straw that stirs the drink? And that, in my opinion, is Aaron Burr. And that is why Hamilton succeeds so well, because the antagonist-protagonist relationship is perfect.
Now, delve into that. You're not calling him a villain, no. Even though, as you were saying, you love villains and you love antagonists. So what exactly is the difference?
Okay, so let's put it this way. A villain is something that is just one-dimensional. It's like a serial killer. It's someone that has one thing in mind, and that is death, destruction, and hate, and I just want to kill for the sake of killing. There's no other things that happen. Villains would be something like Michael Myers. Jaws. Jaws is a villain. Jason Voorhees, a villain. Who else is a villain? You just think of those kinds of characters. They are Jafar.
No, Jafar is not a villain, okay? If you see the live-action one...
The cartoon Jafar is a villain. The live-action Jafar is an antagonist. And
to clear that up.
The antagonist is something far different than a villain. It's someone who has a certain goal that makes sense, but they are doing it in a way that is out of our comprehension. They're doing it because they think that it's right. And it's either shared or it's opposed from the antagonist. Mm-hmm. Like they either have the same goal and they're just going about it a different way, or they have two totally different goals, but those two goals go against each other. And the antagonist has more than just I hate the world for hating the world or that style. There are levels, there are mixtures that are at play that make him or her or something a real force to be reckoned with. They have to be flawed. They have to be trying to get something or gaining something. They have to be intelligent. They have to be adaptable. They have to be worthy adversaries of the protagonist. Mm. And it has to be compelling. And you have to understand where the person is coming from when they're talking about their goal. For example, when you think of Killmonger in The Black Panther, right? He is...
I didn't know that was his name.
Yeah, that's his name.
Killmonger?
Yeah.
I think it's a fishmonger.
No. He is trying to open up the world to Wakanda to help the people of the world. But he's doing it in a way that is really bad. And he's trying to enslave people.
Yeah.
Whereas, and he is the moral opposite to the Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, in Black Panther, it happens. Killmonger's his goal is attained. Wakanda is given up to the world. It is there. People, they can benefit from it. So that's what I'm saying. The goals may be right. Thanos wants to save the universe. He wants to save the universe, which makes sense. He wants to preserve life, but his method in doing it is really bad. He wants to do it in a snap,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to take out half the universe's population. Now that obviously isn't a good thing, but his goal is understandable. Those are antagonists. So that's the difference between a villain and an antagonist. And I like the antagonist-protagonist relationship because usually they're reversals. They are the mirrors of each other. And I would say that Hamilton and Burr are really true mirrors of each other. Mm. Would you agree with this or would you disagree?
Mirror is a tough word because, of course, I feel like that means that they would be much alike on a lot of paths. And... Is mirror the same thing as foil? Because foils are very mirror-like. Like, you know, if it's not crumpled. You know, when you take out a nice sheet of foil. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I will. Actually, let's
think about it.
Right
Their
now.
Upbringing was different. We have Burr, who ends up falling in love with a married woman of a British soldier, not just like some totally single girl who's down with the Americans. You know, it's Alexander and Burr. I find them very different. Are they on? Do they have a lot of the same end goals? Like, are they kind of trying to go to the same place? Yes. Mm-hmm. But their upbringing was different. How they get to those new big spots. Like, shown in the play, you know, when Burr's trying to talk with George Washington. Sure. George Washington's like, whatever, man. You're talking too much. Like, bye. Close the door on
your way out. Close the door on your way out.
So, mirror is... I don't necessarily see mirror. I just see worthy competition.
Well, how about we do this? Foil, the proper definition of foil, as given to me by Professor Wikipedia, in fiction,
always trust.
A foil is a character who contrasts with another character, usually the protagonist, to highlight qualities of the other character. In some cases, a subplot can be used as a foil to the main plot. This is especially true in the case of metafiction and the story within a story motif. The word foil comes from the old practice of backing gems with foil to make them shine more brightly.
What?
Imagine that.
Who would do that? Like, who has gems that are like, these things don't look sparkly enough? I'm going to put some aluminum foil right there. Going to go to the cupboard, get me some foil. I know it's going to make that shine.
It's going to make it look wicked.
That's
good.
Something that our son would do. He's six.
I know. So I think foil would be a relatively...